your host, Jaymont G.
And here we are down in Vintage, right outside the Vintage Red Barn porch. And it's a beautiful day, and a light breeze is picking up, which is making it even nicer out here this afternoon. And I'm joined by H.G. Frauci, the executive director of Vintage here at EAA. And
hi, Jay. Isn't it great?
Yeah.
You can see folks are getting ready. They're setting themselves up out on the flight line, getting ready for the air show. And, of course, we've got Showcase that starts at 2. And then after that, the afternoon air show. And one of the things we try and do here in the Vintage area, up on the north end, we know how close we are to Air Show Center. So we try and keep the airplane population a little looser up north here so folks have places to sit and
give
a little bit of room.
Underneath
wings. And if they're lucky, it's a big airplane like A3s last year. That made for a very popular sitting spot. Of course, mostly it was to stay out of the rain. But this year we're not having that problem, are we? We're
not
enjoying
today.
The sunshine.
Not today. So before we went to break, we were talking about some of the things here in Vintage, and we kind of skipped right past the Vintage Hangar. And the Vintage Hangar is fairly recent, and a lot of people maybe are coming back to EAA for the first time in 5 years, maybe, or the first time ever. Tell us about the Vintage Hangar, its birth, and what it's doing for Vintage.
About 4 years ago, we had a conversation within the board and within some of the staff at EAA about the possibility of us building a building. We had actually never built a building on the convention grounds. We have renovated the Red Barn and added to it and built some small skid buildings, but we had never done a project of this size. And first of all, we wanted EAA's blessing, of course, to make this change, because it was very clear that while we had a tent that had some workshop areas and we had a tent that we hosted the type clubs, neither one of those situations were optimal. It made it very difficult for folks to do their work, and it made it uncomfortable. It just wasn't a nice place to work. And when it became clear that this was not something that was a flash in the pan, we weren't going to do this for a couple of years and then quit doing it. This was something that people really wanted. They came to convention often expecting to talk to these folks, and we wanted to make that as comfortable a process as possible. So with the help of some key volunteers and some key donors, including folks like Ron Tarson and John Turgeon and some longtime supporters of the Vintage Aircraft Association, we were able to put together the funding, and we created this building, which is 75 by 100 feet. It's a very nice size building for anything. It makes a great hangar when we don't have anybody here. We don't generally use it for that purpose, except we sometimes store airplanes that we expect to put on display out here from the museum, because we have to take them down here so early.
From Pioneer,
yeah. In particular, the Blériot that you see on display, which every time I see a thunderstorm forecast, it makes us nervous. But we're doing fine. The airplane's weathering it just fine. And so the Vintage Hangar has created this ambiance that makes it a nice place for folks to sit, enjoy a nice day talking to their constituents and their type clubs. And also, along the back of that, we were able to create a new volunteer refreshment center. So all of those folks, those 500 folks that we talked about before, they have a place to go to come cool down, have a drink, maybe have a sandwich. And then we also have a couple of administrative offices and a new conference room back there where we've been hosting meetings. For instance, on Wednesday, a couple of the type clubs wanted to sit and talk to a couple of folks from the FAA. And in fact, we are going to have a particular individual who will be here to make certain that a meeting that we had planned on having occur with the type clubs will happen. So hats off to the FAA for making that one trip possible, because he's going to drive up from Milwaukee. He's going to fly to Milwaukee and then drive up and have this meeting with just the type clubs. But he will be here, and that's going to happen. In the hangar itself, we've made some changes. We've had it for 2 years now. We've begun to understand better what works and what doesn't work in there. We added lighting, so if we have a dark day or just a cloudy day, we can flip the lights on. We have these beautiful high bay mercury vapor lights, so it really lights it up. We've added in the northeast corner a workshop, and it's kind of an old-time workshop with Paul Poberesny's help and Dale Gustafson and Dave Clark. They put together this display that kind of reminds you of an old workshop. And in those workshops, the recently retired Joe Norris — Joe used to be the home built community manager here for EAA. Joe has been a longtime Vintage airplane guy as well. And he stepped up and offered to do some brief forums on how to maintain your airplane. So every day at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, so just in a couple minutes, he'll be doing a brief forum. For instance, today he's going to be doing wheel and tire maintenance and He did spark plug servicing this morning. And tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, he'll do safety wiring basics. And at 2 p.m., a weight and balance refresher. He'll repeat those throughout the week. And they're just brief, 20, 30-minute programs with questions and answers.
Only one of those that you mentioned that he's doing could kill you. And it's the one he's doing at 2 o'clock. So people should get down there because wheels, if you don't do it right, will kill you.
Yeah, they can come apart pretty fast and pretty nasty.
If you take the bolts, the wrong bolts out before you deflate that tire,
you're going to have a bad day.
It's going to be a bad day.
That's right.
So everyone should head to those farms. They're free.
Yeah, absolutely. They're right there in the corner of the vintage hangar. In the opposite corner of the vintage hangar, one of the things that we tried to make work, but it just was not going to work out acoustically, and as sound guys, you can all sympathize with us on this. We have some metal shaping demonstrations that folks can participate in, and that's great fun, but it can be very noisy. So what we discovered was that no matter how we tried to block off the sound, unless you run from floor to ceiling and pack every nook and cranny, sound knows how to get through everything. And we have a double insulated room now on the south side of the vintage hangar where all those machine tools are located. And in fact, Steve, who was just here, will be the first one to tell you that it was pretty noisy and in some cases unbearable. Terms of trying to communicate from one person to another at a table. The other day, one of the guys was working on one of those planishing hammers, and when they came around the corner and said, "Steve, did you hear that?" He said, "Steve, hear what?" So it's that good. It's double insulated, floor and ceiling, everything, so that's much better now. And we'll continue to make improvements. I know that one of the things we're looking to do is to add some ventilation, especially since we added that room. It's cut off some of our cross ventilation, so we're working on that as well.
Well, and not only there's other things that you're doing down here in Vintage that is really nice for the participants. One is this personal electronics charging station here. This is a problem with camping. Camping with your airplane is great, but in a lot of cases, your 12-volt adapter in your airplane, if you have an airplane here, doesn't work unless the master switch is on. Of course, you can't leave your master switch on all night when you want to charge your cell phone or your camera batteries, etc. So you guys were very kind in putting personal charging station right here at the Vintage Red Barn.
For years we always had a couple of power strips over here on the front of the Red Barn, and you could come plug in, but then you had to sit there and wait for it, and while we had popcorn and it's a very nice place to sit, we could only accommodate so many folks. And it became very clear as the years wore on, and then all of us were bringing, we had our smartphone, maybe we had a laptop, just a variety of electronic devices that needed to be charged, that we could really add a very valuable service to folks. So what we did was we took the old, what used to be our volunteer refreshment center, and we've added a whole bunch of shelves and a whole bunch of power strips and, some brand new power to that and some new circuit breakers, and made it possible for folks to come. They get a coat check just like they were, checking their hat at the nightclub. And you get your coat check, and you can leave the device here as long as you bring your own charger. We'll charge it for you, and then when you come back, you can retrieve your personal device, and away you go. And you don't have to worry about there and babysitting it.
Right, which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing that I think is fantastic, and, we're on the fly, so I get around the grounds a little bit, as you might know. You have probably, and there's some good food around air. However,
Steve Nessie and the Tall Pines Cafe.
The Tall Pines Cafe is wonderful, and also your new Vintage Grill.
Actually, that's not us.
Last year.
It's in Vintage. It happens to be named the Vintage Grill because the folks who run that, Brian Wilderness and that family, great group of people. They also have a great restaurant here in Oshkosh that's open all year long over there at the Hawthorne Suites. It's called The Vintage, so that's why it's The Vintage Grill.
Between the Tall Pines breakfast and the Vintage Grill for dinner and beverages and whatever, it's such a nice place to go eat.
You never have to leave.
You never have to leave. That's right.
Things that I will point out about just to jump back real quick about the personal electronic charging station, all of these things we provide without an expected price. Certainly, anytime if you come and want some lemonade or popcorn or want to get something charged, we're always looking for folks who want to step up and just donate a little bit to help us defray those costs. Because they're always, whether it's painting the room or buying some power strips, any of that kind of thing, it really helps. And we do have an ongoing campaign called the Friends of the Red Barn. And folks can contribute to that, and they'll be recognized for their contributions all year long. It can be as, you know, you can send a dollar or you can send us $1,250. We have levels for all of that. And you can learn more about that at www.vintageaircraft.org, the Vintage Aircraft Association's website. We're happy to do that. We love doing this, but unfortunately, as we all know,
there's costs.
There's costs. There's costs in EA radio. There's costs, and you do your best to get donations and folks to sponsor stuff. But the bottom line is, as much as our volunteers mean everything to us, it's really important that those folks who maybe they can't be here. I have folks who regularly volunteer their dollars as opposed to their time by sending us, 10, 20, 50, 150, up to $1,250. To help us put this event on, because they know how important it is to so many folks.
Well, and those different levels, you also, in return, give them a little value for that.
Sure. We have some
make it a little more
things.
Comfortable
yeah.
here.
Yeah, we've got some activities they can participate in. If you buy at a higher, certain higher levels, you get a four trimotor ride as part of that.
Tall Pines Breakfast.
Tall Pines Breakfast, which is really a great benefit for folks who are here. That Tall Pines has been one of the great success stories for servicing members. We put that in place to do our best to make certain that members were taken care of on the field. The previous administrator or folks who put together the restaurants down there said, you know, the problem with us down there is that we just can't make enough money to make it pay for itself. And I'm here to tell you right now, if we had to pay the folks who are put together and cook for us down at Tall Pines, if we had to run that like a regular restaurant and pay all the help, he's right. You can't make any money at it. But as an association that has great volunteers and great volunteer help, we're able to help one another, keep the cost down to reasonable. No, it's not as cheap as going and buying one Egg McMuffin. Try and build your own restaurant once a year and see how you can control costs. So they've done a great job of controlling the costs and keeping that really big breakfast that'll keep you running all day at a price that's reasonable. But again, it's all volunteers that make that happen.
Yeah, and along those lines, and this is not part of Vintage necessarily, but you work for EAA, so you can speak to this. There is a new, and this isn't part of any venue that I go to, so I'll have you address it. There is a new club.
Yes.
Out here that we should talk about because sure. It's brand new, and people probably don't know about it.
Yeah, if you're if you're somebody who comes to the convention, say, one or two days, or even for the week, but if just a little bit more, let's say, accoutrement. Those things yes. that you'd like a little air conditioning every now and then. You'd like a really nice meal, and you're willing to pay for it. For $100 a day, you can participate in the EAA's Aviators Club. It's located just on the north end of the Vintage Aircraft Association. We actually had to move a taxiway a little bit to make this work for us. But it's right there just to the south of the Comm Center. If you're standing on ConocoPhillips Plaza, it would be directly to the southeast of the plaza right along the flight line. So if you do that, you come first thing in the morning. You can sign up for the Aviators Club online, advance purchase, easy for me to say, or you can buy your ticket right there at the door. And you have access to that air-conditioned room all day long. There are meals available all day long. And there is seating for the air show right in front of there. And it's just about dead center on the air show center. So you have no problem with any kind of access to the air show.
You know, I'm glad you put that in because I'm going to bring my dad next year for the first time, and it's since 2000. He and I flew my 195 out here and parked in Vintage in 2000. But here we are 10, 11 years later. He hasn't been back because of a variety of different things. You know, he's in his 70s, and I want him to be comfortable. And that is where I'm going to send my dad when I bring him to Oshkosh.
There you go. Yeah, it's really relatively inexpensive if you think about all the benefits you get from it. This year it's going to be in that location. We're of course, going to evaluate whether or not that location works best for it. It is a temporary location. It's not on a permanent slab or anything.
Okay.
So
it looks like a good place to view the air show.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out. It works out operationally if it works in conjunction. It turns out that area just to its south is actually an active taxiway. There are airplanes that we have to bring in and out of that taxiway. During the air show, it's used as a staging area, and it is a major east-west fire lane for the fire department. When they're on station out here on the flight line, they can make that run directly west by making basically a U-turn. So
that sounds like it'd be a great place to watch the air show in air-conditioned comfort. because you have all that activity going on that you wouldn't otherwise see.
Yeah, it's right there dead center on the air show, right next to the Comm Center, if you're familiar where the Communications Center is, which is Air Show Center. And it's really a great place to watch an air show, as is the rest of the Vintage area. You know, if that's something that you want to participate in, you will have a very similar experience without the air conditioning and depending on what you brought yourself for lunch. Right there on the Vintage flight line. And once again, we do our best to try and keep that open for folks so that they have as much room as possible to enjoy the air show.
And today, to wrap up the show, HG, I like to spend a little bit of time talking about this because it's very important, and we have a couple minutes to address this. And we just want to remind everybody that a lot of these vintage airplanes have been lovingly restored by owners, and such harm can come to them not being careful.
Absolutely.
And we just want to remind everybody that it's... owners love when you come and visit them and admire their airplane, admire their work, admire their accomplishment. But please don't touch the airplanes. And never, ever touch a propeller anywhere.
Absolutely.
Not just in vintage, but anywhere in aviation, if you're visiting somewhere else, it doesn't matter. Never touch a propeller.
Yeah, no matter where you are on the field. Whether you're in Homebuilt or the Warbird community in the IAC, anywhere on the field or here in the Vintage area, these airplanes are built out of a variety of materials, and some of them are maybe a little more damage-tolerant than other, but you certainly would feel bad if you nicked an airplane with your, say, your purse or your, not your purse today, but...
bag, you know, it's my man bag.
So many of us carry a bag chair, for instance, you know, a chair slung across our shoulder, and it's easy to turn around and forget that you've got a tail with that bag chair, and they'll leave a mark. Aluminum dents very easily. You could easily punch a hole in fabric, and we really appreciate it when folks are very careful, and you're absolutely right. Unless somebody invites you to touch the airplane, the best bet is to do what I used to do with my kids, which was to tell them to go to parade rest, put their hands behind their back.
That's right. And that reminds us, too, kids, watch your kids,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, HG, this has been fun. Beautiful, and it's going to be a great week, I think. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure to have EA Radio use us as the kickoff event.
And we always do, and it's fun to be down here, and we'll do it again next year.
Absolutely. We'll see you then.
All right. J-Mod G, tomorrow we'll be at the IAC Pavilion up at Aerobatics. That's good, yeah. We'll be up there tomorrow, so we're going to cut loose. There's a lot going on this afternoon. Stay tuned to EA Radio. All your AirVenture information.